Welcome to the Game Shelf Campaigns Podcast, Season 1, featuring Pandemic Legacy. This is Episode 104, where we talk about what happened in our playthrough of April, and what we think may happen in our next games. If you're interested in listening to the entirety of our April game, feel free to check out Episode 103.5, which is also posted. If this is the first episode you're tuning into, welcome. You may want to consider starting with episode 100 for introductions and to hear what we had to say before we started playing. And perhaps this goes without saying, but in this podcast, we do talk about what actually happened during our playthrough. So this is your official warning that there will be spoilers for the rule changes and game modifications that happened during a Pandemic Legacy campaign. If you haven't yet played through April, this is your chance to pause the episode until you too have reached that milestone. With that out of the way, let's tune into Season 1, Episode 4. So we went into April thinking, yeah, we could win this.
That's right. It was easier than March. It was less close than March, I would say.
Yeah.
I think we paid attention to that a little bit sooner than we had in March.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that was having to put that little exclamation marker down for where the second epidemic was going to happen. Yeah. Knowing that the game was going to change halfway through and it wasn't going to be pretty.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did a better job of quarantining this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will say, I thought when they introduced the military bases, I thought something's going to be bad. People are going to get a little bit bizarro. And at some point, we're going to have soldiers that are running around and containing these people, whatever they are. Yeah. And I, when I said that, didn't think we would actually get terrifying people figurines.
Yeah, little transparent skinned people.
But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we
go. Yeah, it was a very good guess.
Yeah, well, Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, that's right.
So these guys are terrifying.
Yeah.
Very aggressive, but then they calm down, I guess.
Right.
So that's...
Yeah,
there's that. A little gross sometimes. To look at.
Yeah, but that's going to... Ooh, so that's going to be weird. Because at some point, there's going to be some push for rights for translucent people. Mm. Because there's going to be a lot of terror surrounding them.
That's going to end up being Season 2.
Season 2. Pandemic Season 2 is going to be like West Wing themed. Just going to be all politics.
And we play it in a very Hanabi kind of way where nobody has all the information. Right. You're left guessing.
We have joked about playing Hanabi with our cards because one of my friends will be like, okay. And hold him up to his forehead.
So, big difference in this game versus the last three that we've played. Tension level was through the roof.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my goodness.
It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Chaz, you kept, like, realizing that you were, like, fiddling with the cards that are in the infection deck.
Fiddling is a generous term. He was clutching.
I was clutching the discard pile.
With a vengeance.
Yeah.
But, well, and Matt, you were, like, out of your chair.
I was. You know? I kept standing up.
I would just stop knitting and be like...
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got just perfectly our starting research station on the eastern part of the board is in Tehran, and our City Zero is Tehran.
Yeah. Yep. So City Zero, where the first case of the faded folk.
Yeah. The old FF.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't
That's
mean
right.
anything else. All right.
It's interesting to me that we only have two cities that are fated so far.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it was looking like that was going to go very, very poorly.
We really bought into the virtues of quarantining.
Quarantining.
Over the past few games, we really got that memo.
We're learning.
Yeah, it's nice that they didn't have us convert all of the cities into faded cities.
I was terrified. Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, because we had plenty of Coda disease cubes on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I would have been starting out in one of those cities just by the fact that I had quarantined one of them.
In Moscow, that would have been bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That said, I think we started this game with 5 Coda cities.
Yeah.
4. I think we started with like 2 or 3, and then we were up to 4 or 5 within the first round.
Yeah, it was
before any of us could get over there. So.
Well, and even when we were placing City 0, I mean, it was a close call. I'm pretty sure that card had just come up, and we had just removed a quarantine marker mm-hmm. within a turn or two.
Yeah.
And then when we pulled this stuff up, it was like, well.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. So, but containing this just got a lot more important.
Yeah.
Now that we can flip non-black cities into faded cities.
Right.
Permanently.
Yeah.
That's barf-tastic.
Yeah.
Right.
That's got to protect those borders.
And I think we need to particularly...
Build a wall.
We got to protect them.
No.
Don't build a wall.
No.
JK, internet.
Well, and especially... I feel like, especially with the way it connects over to some of the stuff in Asia, where we've got TBA, which is our easiest to cure mm-hmm. disease. Like, I don't want those to convert.
Yeah. What's nice is that there are only 2 points of connection. Chennai and Kolkata.
Yep.
2 nodes.
Right. So if we can do good work there.
We can do good work there.
Military base in Bangkok.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Actually, still Delhi. Well, because Bangkok would get us to Kolkata, but not Chennai.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if there are refugees coming up who are trying to escape? Maybe that'll be season 2 as well.
Yeah.
That is like more of a season 2 theme.
Yeah, season 2.
I like that we're already planning.
I know.
this will be a thing.
So, clearly. One thing that I thought was kind of similar in this game and the last game, though we handled a little better, was that yellow started to get a little bit out of control for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
Our
last game?
Both. Okay. I mean, I think in the previous, whatever that means, the yellow got really out of control.
March is what we call that.
That's what we call that. And in this one...
What month are we in?
We just finished April.
Right, the previous.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
March.
See?
Okay.
And in this one, I thought the yellow was starting to get out of control, too. We just were able to get on it quicker. It didn't get crazy, but it got worse than I think yellow normally gets in Pandemic.
Well, and we also, cured it earlier on than we did in the...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In March, so...
Well, I think the deal with yellow is that this game, San Francisco blew up.
Right.
And so it... put a lot of yellow cubes on the board.
Los Angeles. Yep.
LA, thank you. LA blew up, which put 5 yellow...
And that was our only outbreak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
But I think it made yellow look worse than it actually was.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of yellow city cards that were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
There were some cities that looked gross.
Things looked really dire for blue at the beginning, with both Essen and Paris connected mm-hmm. to each other,
well,
both with 3 disease cubes on them.
Right, which was nice that Phil was able to get over there and just be like, done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we were able to do that because we had the starting research station in Tehran before it became City 0.
City 0. I wonder if we get an upgrade later for City 0.
There
will be things that end up happening in City 0.
I'm guessing there will be things that happen, and I'm anticipating some kind of end of the year resolve something at City 0 kind of activity.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise they wouldn't have us track which city it started in.
I mean, that sticker is so much larger and scarier.
Yeah. It really is. It really, really is.
And these people, arrr.
I know.
I know, they look...
They
do look angry.
And I appreciate that they basically made them zombies without making them zombies.
Right. Yeah, they're not zombies.
They're not zombies. They are people that are temporarily filled with rage because
of this
disease.
They're so detailed, dude. Like, they have faces and fingers.
Well, I mean, that will make it a really fun project for somebody who likes painting miniature minis.
But
How do you keep them translucent? Ends of their pant legs.
Somebody will figure it out.
I'm sure.
Their clothes will not be translucent, but their skin will be translucent.
The skin will be, that'll be perfect.
So they'll have people with, like, you know, the buttons undone on their top couple of shirts.
It has a belt.
Yeah. It. It. It's a he or a she, or at least a person, not an it.
It's a person.
They have
belts. A they, perhaps.
They have belts.
They're terrifying. And I'm really not looking forward to setting up the next game and seeing where they show up on the board, because during setup, cities might just become faded.
Speaking
period.
Of, what time is it?
Oh, yeah, we're not going to have enough time. Yeah.
I mean, we could.
No, we could not. That took us 2.5 hours to play
but
that
we
game.
We are not quick.
We already are mostly set up.
Every one of our games has taken 2 hours, and they have gotten longer.
Are people going to show up on time?
Yes.
This is a bad assumption to make. Remember what happened during our last game?
I do remember that. Yeah. We have to send people for a walk. All right.
That's true.
Excellent point.
Yeah, but usually on game day...
And it's so warm outside. It's a nice day to go for a walk.
Right, it is.
We're doing them a favor.
Like, we're encouraging them to explore their horizons in a city that they... Or a town.
Maybe.
Get some sunshine.
People who show up
lights.
Won't care, and right. they won't mind yeah. huge spoilers on this game. Because even at this point, if somebody walked in the door to be like, what are those figurines? What are those little people?
Right.
Why are they carrying?
For what it's worth, I'm going to cut out all of this talk about screwing over the forthcoming guests from the podcast episode.
That's fine. Editing rights. That's good.
Whatever
you want.
All right.
Or I will make it clear that I was opposed to the idea. I mean, it has been 3 hours and 15 minutes. Oh, maybe just 3 hours. Since we really...
Yeah, I guess we're not really that quick.
Since I started recording, it's 2 hours 45.
We did really quickly, though, because we have that time crunch. We could do it, guys.
No, we could.
It'll be like a four-hour game.
Yeah, it's also worth pointing out that May has 3 objectives. Yes, May has 3 objectives, and that's gross. I assume this is like where we're going to come back into the conversation.
That's right.
Right.
Good.
So, brief sidebar. Hey, and we're back.
So, any guesses on what might change for our objectives in May? I mean, we currently have 3 objective options on the board, but we only had to complete 2 for April.
I think we're going to get another character role that can help us deal with the people who are fated.
Makes sense.
And they're going to be able to help, you know, either treat them in some way or do something to be able to keep that from getting awful. And I think we will have some sort of objective around try to, you know, get all the fated people under control for this game. Treated for this game, whatever that would be. Like, get them all off the board at some point. Because they can always come back, but I think there'll be something around that.
Yeah, and the board would get untenable if we could just indefinitely never treat fated players.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be some way to handle it.
Yeah.
So, Clutch, like, we only have 2 fated cities.
Third objective. I think building a military base on each continent will stay as an objective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those military bases will become much more useful than even they are right now.
Yeah.
Like, we can see the usefulness now, especially with our upgrades, but I think a new power or a new person will directly need to be based at the military base somehow, or directly interact with them.
Yep. I agree with that. Yeah. 3 objectives instead of 2. That'll be tough.
Yeah.
But I think we'll still have to discover 3 cures.
Yeah.
Right.
As a mandatory
barf.
One.
Barf!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Red will be easier since we did eradicate it and get the final upgrade. TBA!
TBA!
TBA. What month is this?
It'll be May.
Okay. So we did an upgrade on TBA every single month for the first 4 months of the year.
Yep.
That's...
Yeah, that will definitely be helpful, especially if we still have an objective that's eradicating.
And start eradicating another.
Yeah,
it'd be
and that,
so.
That has been so
ones.
that has been such a foothold for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be able to get rid of red pretty easily. And
yeah.
Well, in this
as
last,
black keeps getting harder and harder.
In this last game, you actually were able to like cure red, and at the same time you were drawing an epidemic card. But we had enough upgrades on TBA that it was just like, oh, you've got three matching cards, just discard them.
Yep.
It's cured.
Yeah, that made that super easy.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to just get it out of the way and then know that the red cards that come up in the deck are safe. Because, so we'll have to do three objectives in May, but this player card deck isn't getting any bigger. So we've got the same amount of time, quote unquote, to do more things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been hard just doing two things.
Yep.
Yeah.
So as far as some of the decisions we've been making in these previous months, both from an upgrade standpoint and an overall strategy standpoint, has there been anything that we've regretted up to this point?
Not so far. Yeah.
I mean, I think the TBA disease cure upgrades, or the positive mutations, I should say, have been, they've paid for themselves well over.
Absolutely.
I don't have any regrets, but I know we haven't really been able to take advantage of Diane's larger hand limit, which is fine. I think that's actually mostly been because we've been able to cure things, so the number of cards she's holding is going back down.
Right.
Right.
But
it will be important when we're trying to push 2-4 card cures.
Right.
Actually, it worked out really well having Diane both as rivals with Zed and co-workers with Deb. That was huge for this. I mean, that is what got us the disease cure for blue.
Absolutely. I think we did a great job of choosing upgrades that that just sort of systemically makes the game easier all the time. And we also did a good job of, I don't know how intentional this was or if it was accidental, but we didn't pick things that were too specific to any one rule. So for example, we didn't spend a lot of time putting down starting research stations. Because if we did that, that's nice. But now we see, oh, well, military bases are this other type of structure. Maybe we don't super care about having all of these starting research bases. Like, I think we'll always care about making it really easy to cure diseases, making it really easy to move cards around. So I think we did a good job of picking the right upgrades.
Yeah, well, and picking up on the research station one in particular, picking up the operations specialist is that new character type who can go around and just be building without having to also have the corresponding card color.
Right.
Right.
Because that is a consistent struggle if you don't have someone that can do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the other thing that I think has really worked in our favor, and it's a combination of our paranoia around treating things and you know whatnot, is we have very few scars on the board right now.
No scars.
No, sorry, not scars. What do you call it when cities go?
Damage. Our cities are...
Panic level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our panic levels in these cities are remarkably low.
Yeah, we have still just 2 cities that are rioting. And only, I think, 7 that are unstable.
Yeah.
Which really isn't bad considering we've played through this many months.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to jump topic so you say your thing.
Yeah, so that has meant that we've been able to get to and from cities with relative ease.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, you know, even the ones that are a little bit on the fence, you know, looking at Riyadh, it's not a critical hub for other places. We've been protecting those hubs, and that's been pretty clutch.
And I know you misspoke earlier, but worth noting, we have 0 scars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. That's true.
And surprising.
That's great.
Yeah.
We've had so many close calls on that.
Well, we had the last minute quarantine in San Francisco, which protected Zed from getting one. It was Zed, right?
Yeah.
But we are so risk averse on scars. It's really one of our most risk averse things.
Which is going to be a lot tougher now.
Less averse to the scars. But it's worked out really well.
It's going to be a lot tougher now with these faded characters, where if you start in a city that's got one. Faded, you just get a scar.
Yeah.
And that will probably be a difficult choice that we have to make in one of these upcoming games.
It probably will be. But our characters are so strong. That's where we've invested so much of our upgrades. It is going to be really bad for us to A, have them be weakened, but B, to lose them and have to use a civilian I can't imagine this game, like, upgrades without the upgrades, like a civilian for any one of these four characters. I mean, we've got people on the bench to bring in, so that's nice.
Yeah,
but
still,
So we'll have to choose at some point, but I think it's smart for us because these are the things that are making it easier for us to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Using those strategically has been really, really important.
Yeah. So protecting those assets is going to be, I think, huge for us.
Protecting our limited resources.
Yeah.
A message for the kids.
When you're listening to this in the future with no water in California...
All right. So May is coming up. We've got a draw this card just before you set up your first game in May.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting, but fun.
Yeah. I think we've chosen wisely. I think we are positioned well for May.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've chosen as best as we can based on the knowledge we currently have.
Yep.
And actually, I'm curious here. So we have four research stations on the board. We have two military bases on the board. And we have all but three of our quarantine markers on the board. So that's 9 quarantine markers on the board.
We put a lot of energy into structures in quarantine.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, May is next. May. Keep talking about it.
I said this a second ago, and I was talking about May. I think we're set up well for May.
Yeah.
I think we chose our upgrades wisely. I do think that we will find at the beginning of May, there will be a reason for us to run around the globe and start putting down military bases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the game will force us to do that, basically. Well, we can choose not to do that at our own peril.
Bad decision.
And so I think we'll have to do that. And I think perhaps if we had guessed correctly and had starting military bases, that may have been a good thing. But who can guess? But I think we chose our upgrades wisely. Three objectives. I think the third objective is going to be something that will sort of be tied to dealing with the fated figures. So it's something that will be good for us anyway.
Yep.
So I think I predict victory in May. Mm-hmm. Boldly.
I predict victory in May as well. Victory!
As do I.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
This is where we insert the sound clip from The Last Starfighter, where everyone starts shouting, "Victory or death! Victory or death!" Has anyone seen that movie?
No.
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 Dang.
But I trust it'll be
Robert
funny.
Preston is classic in that movie. All right.
Mate.